Hello and welcome everyone to our Digital Strategy Unlocked podcast. Very excited today with both the topic and the person that we'll be talking with. This is a podcast which is for C-suite executives to take a pause, take a breath, look at the larger perspective and really talk and share their ideas and the actions around digital transformation in the enterprise. Our topic today is democratization of AI, the key to digital transformations in the enterprise. And I'm very excited about our speaker today with us, Marcus Zern, who's the Chief Strategy Officer for Workato and part of the founding executive team. Before I hand it to him, Marcus and I and our family actually go back a long time. It's both personal. We've also collaborated on different things. And now today, really excited, Marcus, to have you as a guest on our show. I'll give it to you to do a quick intro, and then we'll dive into the topic of the day.
Very excited to be here. Deepak, thanks for having me. Hopefully this will be fun here, talking about digital, talking about AI, and to tell the audience up front a little bit about Workato. Almost 10 years of my life have been dedicated to Workato, starting Workato and growing Workato. And a lot of what you guys are going to hear today is in the context of Workato. Of course, it helps to understand what Workato actually is if people don't know yet. We are an enterprise orchestration platform. What that means is that it's really a combination of workflow and integration. So think about an end-to-end business process. That's important for digitization, right? So order to cash or procure to pay or maybe lead to opportunity, these kind of things. What Workato can enable to do very quickly is to basically orchestrate that end-to-end business process. So build the workflow that brings in the people, brings in all the digital information and connects to all the business systems that are on the path of that end-to-end process. Hope that helps a little bit. And then everything I'm going to say about AI and digital is really going to be in this context of enterprise orchestration.
Perfect example. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, Marcus. I think the whole idea of running a better business is also a pattern that we are seeing at Photon as well. But with that, let's dive into the topic, democratization of AI. I know that you have a very strong perspective that you've shared with me before on how digital transformation is going to give way to Gen AI transformation. Can you begin by elaborating on that a little bit for our listeners?
No, absolutely. Happy to. So I'm really talking about, if you think about digital transformation, I'm thinking about almost like a wave that went through the industry, a wave that hit people. I talk a little bit about this oh shit moment where people realized, oh man, something's hitting me, that big wave, right? You think about you're the surfer and something huge is coming up behind you. And so clearly, there was a digital transformation wave that started. I would say patient zero really was Amazon. Amazon started to really change retail and work at it. And there were probably like 10, 15 years ago, there was a moment where people realized, oh, I think things changed in retail. And it was really that digital transformation that Amazon started them as a digitally native kind of company. But people realized, oh, if we don't adopt, if we don't do that as well, we'll probably end up on the wrong side of history. You know, it's this kind of waves that really build like winners and losers. You want to be on the wave. You don't want to be hit by it. So my take is that what we saw last year, 2023, with AI, I feel there's a new wave forming. I talked about this oh shit moment, which is in a way is, do I see a wave, the beginning of a wave, if you want? And I would say that Google, probably when OpenAI came about, I think Google was the first one who had that oh shit moment. If you guys remember, they rang the code red alert and we're like, oh, this might actually change our business, our whole search business and so on. We're seeing now more people, I think, having these similar moments. I would say BPOs that do business process outsourcing, they're realizing, oh, I think the world changed. There is a new wave forming. I do believe there's a new wave forming. And then you talked about democratization of AI. You want to look for, is there the beginning of a wave? And then I think the second thing is you want to say is, hey, what's the volume of the wave that is forming? So what is the momentum? Is it going to be a big wave? Is it going to be like a little blockchain wave that's going to go away, just forms and goes away? Or if it's going to be a big one that built up over time? And if you think about generative AI, I feel that it is obvious, and people see that with ChatGPT and so on, that it really democratizes the AI or the machine learning that we knew from the past, where you needed data scientists and you needed, very technical people. Now everybody can interact with that. And to me, if you see democratization, I believe that it means that there's a solid wave. Because democratization means a lot of people will get involved with it. It isn't just like some kind of a isolated kind of trend for a few technical few, if you want. This is going to be a big wave. So yeah, my feeling is that there's a digital transformation wave. It's not like this is going away. I think this is continuing, but there's a new wave, the AI transformation or generative AI transformation wave that is forming. And that's, in my opinion, it's going to be huge.
I couldn't agree more with you, Marcus. We are definitely seeing that. It is different. Like you said, is it going to be like a blockchain that came and went away? This one is actually there. And I think the volume is really big. We are already seeing a lot of experiments. And the thing is, you can see results iteratively very quickly. But one of the things we are starting to see, and I know you talk about it as well, is the patterns are very critical in this space. So do you want to talk a little bit and expand for our listeners on the three fundamental patterns in AI as you all see it at Workato?
Yeah, definitely. And so for the audience, like up front, I mentioned I'm at Workato, and really we think of these orchestrations of business processes. So the patterns I'm going to highlight is really in that context. So clearly, generative AI is changing software development. Probably the biggest change that we're seeing, so that would be a pattern for sure, is what does generative AI do to software development? But I'm not going to focus on that one. I believe most people understand that. What I'm going to focus on is really the world of Workato, these business processes. So what's generative AI going to do to the way we run our business in a company? So the first pattern I would highlight is operationalizing unstructured data. So really, I think ChatGPT has shown us like how amazing Gen AI is in understanding text, and DALL-E and so on, understanding images, understanding video, being able to look at video and then identify it, or basically also generating text or video and so on. And I think the first pattern really is about doing stuff with this unstructured data that before was really hard to do. The typical example that we see is if you take sales, for example, a lot of people these days use something like a gong or some mechanism to record a sales conversation. Now doing something with that information, which before all you could do is just record it and maybe listen to it. But now with generative AI, you can summarize it and put it into Salesforce. You don't have to ask the salesperson to do that anymore. You can even go and suggest follow-up emails to the customer. Maybe someone in the company should know about this sales conversation. All of that you can do. It's actually really not that hard. If you have something like a Workato and you have a generative AI service, you can stitch the two together, connect it to your business systems. Off you go. I think second pattern, I would say, it's a little more difficult for us. I feel it's almost could be the killer app of generative AI is everything related to knowledge management. Again, we're going back to that generative AI is really good at text. What you can do with using an architecture that a lot of people talk about, RAG, retrieval augmented generation, you can build a knowledge management system with like semantic search on top of it. It requires an LLM. Plus a vector database where you structure some of that knowledge, and then you can get to incredible self-service knowledge management systems in support. So support, all kind of support, be it internal help desk or customer support, all of that you can power. I think that's very exciting. And then last but not least, so this is maybe a little out there, people just starting to understand that. But if you think about what we do, these enterprise orchestrations, right? In the past, it was all deterministic, almost like a Visio flow of the process steps. Now with these LLMs, you can basically get smart process decisions included in these processes. So almost like you don't define the process step by step anymore. You just say, these are the tasks that need to be done, and then have generative AI figure out the order of the task, the sequence of the task. So basically you almost have a dynamic process. Again, that's probably most people are not there yet, but what we see, like the real pioneers getting into, there's incredible potential.
I love it. Just to make sure that our listeners get it as well, I'll try to summarize to make sure I got it right, Marcus, because I think there are some pearls of wisdom there. But number one is operationalize the unstructured data. Absolutely true. Number two is reimagining knowledge management. We are actually doing that with a lot of our clients right now, because that's a very targeted Gen AI use case. And then number three, I think, is very interesting. What we are seeing is injecting intelligence into many of the work processes, right? What you're saying is actually injecting intelligence to the point where the process itself is redefined through Gen AI and AI principles. Did I get that right, Marcus, the three ones you talked about?
Exactly right.
Perfect. I know as you were talking about this and the vector database and the RAG concepts, which are definitely happening, we all know that any AI solution requires a good foundation of data. What would you say are the core tenets of data or digital that need to be in place to drive successful outcomes along the patterns that you just described for an AI transformation?
Sure, is really at the heart of all of this. AI is basically doing things with data. It's uncovering data probably that we may have but never used. As I highlighted before, it's a lot of this data that maybe we thought we can't do anything with before, which is the unstructured data. AI can also do amazing things with structured data, but it's the unstructured data that we just have so much of. And that's such a great potential. Tenants, I would say, just really think about all the unstructured data that you have. And maybe start with the fact of, am I actually collecting all that data? Like, for example, here, if a sales conversation happens, is that call actually recorded? Is that transcribed? Because there's a lot of data there. Some people maybe in the supply chain and so on might think about IoT. Again, there was a big trend with IoT. I think it, yeah, maybe fizzled out a little bit, but I would say with Gen AI, maybe it will come stronger to life than ever before. We all live and operate in the world, and we leave like a digital footprint as people. How can we maximize that digital footprint and make it accessible to these AI services? And if we do that, I think we will get the most out of AI.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, taking that a little bit further, Marcus, what do you think are the big rocks needed to drive these AI integrated transformations? We all know it's not just about the technology. It's not just about the data. What are the key learnings from your school of hard knocks in this area?
All right. I want to kind of point the audience to a book that we just wrote at Workato. It gives a really good overview of what you have to focus on. It's called The New Automation Mindset. It obviously includes AI in the way of how you do things. And it really has three core tenets. It's the process mindset, the growth mindset, and the scale mindset. And just to go through them, I think people just have to be really familiar and thinking along these vectors. So process mindset, it's been my experience that actually very few people think in terms of process. It seems to be like a systems thinking kind of thing. I studied electrical engineering. It's imprinted into me, but a lot of people don't. If you ask them, so how does that work? What do you do every day? They have a hard time explaining it and even harder time putting it into visualization of what it is. But that process mindset is key. Without that process mindset, I don't think you will get the benefits of AI. The growth mindset is key. I don't think that AI is there just to take existing ways of doing stuff and doing them a little better. Gen AI is there to really transform, almost rethink how we do things. Looking at it with an opportunity to recreate is important. That's what digital transformation is about.
I'm also last
but not least, the scale mindset. And this is all about democratization point, which is if it's in the hands of 5 people in a company who are super duper developers and very technical, it's never going to, you know, deliver on the potential. Everybody's got to be involved. There's got to be a pervasive adoption of the technology. That's what we've seen with ChatGPT, I believe, is pervasive adoption among all of us. And you just have to have that mindset.
I couldn't agree more. I think the scale mindset is critical because that also goes to the heart of our topic today, Marcus. And when you start doing that and combine it with what you're calling the growth mindset, which is truly thinking about things and reimagining them, not just, hey, I can do this slightly better. We had that with RPA and ML and AI already. I think with this, you now have the ability to transform. It's a transformational opportunity in every business workflow that comes across to do.
Hey, Deepak, there's one more thing maybe that might be valuable to add here. Because, you know, we talked about data before, right? And I talked about automation and these end-to-end business processes. That's how we create value in companies. When people implemented Workato in the past without generative AI, it was all deterministic. It was all, you basically created something. Digital transformation is a little bit like that. You describe your process, you have an idea of what you implement, and then you just go do it step by step. It's like a development type approach. I think with AI, what we're seeing, there is that data science, that experimentation. It's more probabilistic kind of approach of things that we need to add to the skill set of people.
And
I see some of our customers struggling with that a little bit. I'll give you an example. We talked about knowledge management. So we talked about this RAG architecture. You implement it and you turn it on, you try it out, and you go and realize, it's really not that good. Like, what happened? And then you realize that, okay, I was feeding all my knowledge tickets into the system, but what I didn't do is I didn't summarize my tickets. So maybe the resolution of a problem took 10 tickets to complete. All 10 tickets are fed into the knowledge base. But what nobody did is they didn't summarize these 10 tickets together into a knowledge item. And that step of summarization, like upfront preparation work, actually really can improve the semantic search later on, if that makes sense. So it's not like you implement a RAG architecture and you're guaranteed deterministic that you will get perfect results. You have to play with the data. You have to look at the data. Maybe there is a different LLM. Now we have all these more like domain specific LLMs. Maybe there's a specific LLM that will do a much better job. Maybe, again, as I said, maybe you didn't do a good job preparing the data. There's a process of experimentation that I think we need to add. And it's really that data science mindset that needs to be merged with the development mindset.
You are so spot on that one, Marcus. We actually have seen that recently with a few of our clients where the preparation of data and all the hard work you have to do before you see the magic appear at the front end takes time, effort, and patience. And sometimes it's iterative. Like you said, just doing a RAG doesn't mean that you've got the answer. You have to iterate on it. You have to make sure the data is prepped properly. You have to make sure the data is tagged properly before you run it. And the second point is also true. I think the name of the game is fine-tuning the LLM for your business processes or workflows, right? that's where you start getting the value and the advantage of it. So shifting gears a little bit, and I know this is a little bit of a cliche, but knowing what you do today, what guidance or advice would you give to yourself in the early part of your career? And just for our listeners, I know that you started at Booz, Oracle, Splunk, and now Workato, bunch of things along the way. How should folks view a career path in digital and AI today? And what skills will really play into that for them?
That's a really good question. Need to think a little bit about this. Look, first of all, I guess I can call myself very fortunate. I grew up in Germany. I studied electrical engineering. I always was very excited, curious about Silicon Valley. And I managed to end up here, which I would advise everybody to see if there's some place where you feel like this is where things are happening, make your way there. That's worked for me. The interesting thing with generative AI is that early college or maybe even late high school, somewhere in between there, I was actually really interested in AI back then. And flashback back then, it was nothing like today. It was like the really early days. But I was thinking back then about what AI could do. It was more like rules-based systems. I don't know if people remember. I'm dating myself here, like things like Prolog and so on, which is what we're thinking about. And then actually during college, the concept of neural networks actually came up. Only that back then we did it with 5 or 6 neurons and it obviously didn't do much. Now we got like millions of neurons and we're getting amazed by the quality. I don't know what lesson to draw out of this. I guess be patient. I was curious about this back in the late 90s and it just took a while to develop, but now it's coming with a bang. And I would say maybe the one thing, and this is where maybe the Booz Allen connection is coming in, is I do think that value, this is true for digital. It also is true for that new wave of generative AI. The value for companies is coming about in the combination of technology with these business processes. Again, I mentioned maybe it's the system thinking from electrical engineering that drove me there, but that curiosity into understanding business processes and just being curious about what people do and then trying to model it, trying to visualize it and trying to find ways to do it better. And then understanding some of the possible technologies and infusing it into these things. That's probably the biggest thing that people should think about, curiosity. If you're a technologist, I would really advise that you don't limit yourself there, but you add to that a curiosity of how businesses work. And then last but not least, we already talked about it, is get that data mindset and get into experimenting with data, because I think the future will be all about that.
Understood. I think our listeners will like this. But a little bit on the fun side, last but not the least, I know you talked a little bit about the waves and recognizing the wave, but going back in time, can you think of the moment when digital became very real for you? It could be a personal moment, it could be a professional moment, but when it really hit you that, man, this is really going to be a long wave and it's going to really transform both personal and professional lives.
Really good one. Talked about that we know each other through our kids, through school and everything. I would put this one moment when my son, and this is a couple of years back, I think he was like 7 or 8 or so. And we found, I don't know how, I think it was at my parents' home back then, an old telephone, a rotary telephone. It still had this rotary dial. And my son came up to me and he said, "Dad, what is that? Like, why would you have these numbers in a circle? And then you always go into the circle and you turn it to the right. Who came up with that? Like, why wouldn't you just have a keyboard with numbers on it?" And I think it took the same son, by the way, he has his permit and he's driving. And he actually the other day made the same comment about the speedometer in the car. He was like, you know, or Tesla, there's a number with the speed. It's like, why in the other car? Why don't we have that number in there? Why is there this dial that goes up and down? And it's really hard to see what speed I'm actually going. It's like, why wouldn't there just be a number? And I realized some of the older ones might have gotten taken by surprise by Tesla coming up and just putting one number up on a screen and going, that's crazy for my son. It was almost the opposite. He thought like the old stuff was crazy. And what was the point? And I feel that the younger generation is just growing up that way where for them, this is natural. And it's just the way to go. And the old way almost feels like redundant. These are the moments like where personally you feel like, oh, I think we're living in a completely new way. I do think, and I'm not sure if that's, you said, let's get to some fun. I'm not sure if it was fun, but the time of when we went through COVID, I feel that was a time when also even the last people realized that digital is real. I'm just thinking about the retailers, right? I told you about Amazon, and then people went on and built e-commerce stores and so on. And some retailers said, no, we're good. We're really best in brick and mortar, and we're going to focus on that. And then came COVID. And I think the last ones fell over because they realized, oh, that was actually a mistake not to have a digital channel as well. And I think all we sat at home, we did everything on digital. Almost digital was our savior during COVID. Imagine COVID happening without Amazon, without being able to get stuff to your door. I mean, it would have been, even worse, if that makes sense.
Absolutely right. And what a fantastic example as well. On the digital in 2020, I think after that, it became a necessary, mandatory, like it was no longer a choice. It was more a mandate, right? If you're not there, you're going to be left behind. But your story actually about the phone took me back into my childhood, Marcus. And it seems incredible that this would happen and wouldn't happen in today's world at all. But my dad applied for a rotary phone connection in 1978, and he actually got the connection activated in 1985. So it took 7 years at that time in the town we were in for the phone application to go through and the phone line to actually show up and then have that rotary phone that we were talking about. So just a fun fact. And today, obviously, it's all in an instant in a button. So really appreciate that. I think a good one for our listeners probably dates both you and me a little bit. But as all good things come to an end, I think we are coming to our end. Before I wrap up, Marcus, anything else you would like to share on the topic or any other point with our listeners today before I do the final wrap up?
Let me think here. I mean, look, first of all, this was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed being here and sharing some thoughts with you. I mean, maybe the last point to end on would just be that to remind listeners here that we're really only in the first innings of generative AI. I think it's some people go, oh, this is hyped up. I don't think so. I think we're in the very beginning. I think we're seeing innovation happen like every week almost. I think we're going to see generative AI show up in ways that we didn't even think of. I can't even imagine yet. One of my gotcha moments was like the CES conference in January where they showed this new device, the Rabbit. I don't know, you guys can, audience can look this up, but it's like an AI powered, almost like an AI powered phone, like a new interpretation of what the experience with a mobile device could look like, all powered by generative AI. I didn't think that would happen. Can change the paradigm of how we interact with these mobile devices. I think the best is yet to come, and we'll see like years and years of evolution and innovation and so ahead of us. It's actually super exciting.
Perfect. Really appreciate that, Marcus. As always, enjoying talking with you. Thankful for your time. Really honored that you are a guest on our podcast. For our listeners, that's Marcus Zern, the Chief Strategy Officer for Workardo and part of the founding executive team. Our topic today, democratization of AI, the key to digital transformation in the enterprise. Feel free to listen to whichever podcast you subscribe to and stay tuned for more. This is Deepak Sharma, your host, signing off, and thanks for joining us today.